morning, John.
Good morning.
Did you have a good weekend, by the way?
I did.
How do you like feel about the question if I say something like, good morning, you how was your weekend?
Whoa.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a sign that I'm getting old.
Trying to get us bleeping canceled? What are you doing?
That's the whole purpose of the bleep. But listen, you know, here's the thing. Like I say, it could be a sign that I'm getting older, but it does kind of seem like we're hearing more swearing lately. Maybe not on this program, except today. But,
it
seems like there people are cursing more. Have we gotten, I have to ask, a little too comfortable with swear words? And what does it mean when these words, which were once extremely offensive, begin to kind of lose that harsh edge? Mm. We have two people to answer this question for me. John McWhorter, he is the author of Our Magnificent Bastard Tongue, The Untold History of English. He's also a lecturer at Columbia University. And Timothy Jay, author of Why We Curse and Cursing in America, joins us. This is actually a conversation that we started on our website yesterday. And Tanya from Staten Island wrote in, cursing is considered to be empowering, but I believe it takes away from empowerment because of its commonness. Originality and individuality is so much more unique. Talking used to be a gift and a skill. What happened?
She's John, bleeping right about that.
John McWhorter, what happened? Did we used to be more original and individual without relying on four-letter words?
Well, the truth is, of course, we're hearing more curse words in the public forum than we used to. And I don't really think that's very surprising because we are a much more informal society than we used to be. And what interests me is that we're proud of that in so many ways. We consider it authentic. We consider it real. We look at people 100 years ago in all of the layers of clothing and saying things like dark meat to avoid saying thighs, and where illegitimacy was considered a terrible thing. This was a very uptight society where there were major taboos about sex and sexuality. So it made sense that in public there were various words, many of which had four letters, many of which had more, that you didn't use. Whereas today it's become something very arbitrary. And so we feel that there's certain words that you wouldn't expect a Joe Biden or a Bono to use. And we clutch at our pearls when we hear them, and we talk about how we don't want our children exposed to them. But then we have this certain sense that when our children are roughly 17 and a half, it'll somehow be okay. And we're not an uptight society. People walk around half naked in the streets, and most of us kind of like it. And so it's become the kind of thing where we have a disjunction between what we are and what we pride ourselves as being, which is a post-boomer, let-it-all-hang-out America, and a sense that there's certain utterances that we're not supposed to say because they're bad words, although nobody could tell you how it makes a person bad to say them. It's a peculiar thing because, indeed, I'm not using the words now, and I don't walk around using them all the time, but it's still...
But you're still bad, is what you're saying. Okay, let's turn to Tim Jay. You know, Tim, I often wonder, because certainly, you know, a couple centuries ago, probably I would have been looked at askance if I used swear words like egads or gadzooks or bloody. If I called you that bloody guest, Tim Jay, people would get us off the air. So is it just that maybe the words of yesterday that were offensive then are now becoming less offensive and we're going to find new offensive words?
Well, that's certainly true of profanity. I mean, specifically religious terms like damn hell, Christ, Jesus Christ, which were banned 100 years ago in film. And that's just, you know, the power of the church has declined. But think about the forum we're in right now. We can't even have a scientific, objective discussion of what we're talking about. You know, we're handcuffed from the very beginning to say these words, you know, in an objective way. And I think that empowers these words the same way punishing children for saying these words proves to them that they're powerful.
We should bring back Shakespeare, Timothy. Like, thou art a boil, a plague sore, an embossed carbuncle in my corrupted blood.
You can't say that. You're going to get us thrown off the air. That's an FCC violation there.
Hold your carbuncles.
Well, but John McWhorter, you know, for example, have you seen the movie Kick-Ass?
Haven't caught it yet, but I could pretend to have seen it because I've read about it.
Well, have you seen any of these trailers? Have you heard about the young girl who, actually, in the comic, she's 10 years old.
Exactly,
she swears like a longshoreman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for that seems like a different case, though, because all of us would be strangely disquieted by a 10-year-old using extremely profane words. But Tim Jay is saying we are attracted to swear words from birth.
it's peculiar to imagine that little girl saying those things, and her parents have carefully told her that's the character and it isn't you. But we still have to consider that in about 6 or 7 years, nobody, including her parents, is going to be at all surprised to see that same little girl as a bigger girl and a young woman using those very words. And so there's just something that doesn't make coherent sense, especially when, as time goes by, we laugh at the strictures of not so long ago. So Clark Gable in Gone with the Wind, frankly, Scarlett, I think we're allowed to say, or I won't venture, well, I don't give a blank, 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 blank. That was considered, you know, a big deal in 1939. Now we think that's so funny. Well, now here we are with parents telling their little girl it's just the character. What's that going to look like in 70 years? So I think we just need to realize that we're on a historical timeline, and that we're going to look as odd in 100 years as people 100 years ago looked to us.
Well, Tim, what do you think about that? In 70 years, when we hear, you know, toddlers walking around spouting off F-U whatever and other words, is that going to be a lesser society?
I still see the pendulum swinging the other way, you know, with repressing sexist, racist language, hate speech, bullying, was the topic all last week. These words have been around for several hundred years, and I think it's all highly contextualized. You know, what you can say here, what you can say on the radio, what you can say when the police pick you up, what you can say to your priest. You know, I think these, I think as long as the institutions of power, like radio, keep telling us we can't say these things, There's going to be a cost for this income.
It's not us, dude. It's the FCC.
I'm liking you, whoreson, cullionly, barbermonger. That's a good one. We should bring that one.
So you're saying, that's interesting, you're saying that while we get more used to saying these swear words, maybe the seven words that George Carlin pointed to, there are politically incorrect words that we still will not be able to say, that will still be offensive because they insult certain genders, certain religions.
The N-word is worse than the F-word, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. It's also part of commerce, too. I mean, you see these things regulated in sports every week, you know, $10,000 fine for swearing in, you know, the NFL. I mean, it's a matter of making money for some of these NASCAR. It's a matter of making money for these people and presenting a certain face rather than reality.
Timothy J., author of Why We Curse and Cursing in America, and John McWhorter, the title of whose book I wouldn't have been able to say not all that long ago. It's Our Magnificent Bastard Tongue. Thank you to both of you. I want to recommend a website, actually.
Yeah.
There's the Shakespearean Insult Generator
on
the web. We'll put it on our website. You can actually create Shakespearean insults.
If you're an eater of broken meats, you know, you can go there and have a great old time. We love it when we talk with listeners about the store. I don't want to risk it, like, you know, asking what your favorite swear is, although, you know, what is your favorite curse?
Here, I've just generated one. You craven, dog-hearted baggage.
Oh, man. All right, I quit.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.